Welcome in, everybody. It's time a little for On Texas Football Immediate Practice Reactions. Practice number 5 today. The Longhorns over at Denius Fields in Austin here. Texas Relays getting started here a little bit later. CJ Vogel, myself, Jerry Hamilton. Jerry joining us from home this afternoon, or this morning, excuse me. CJ, first initial thoughts today. Manny Muhammad still on the mend a little bit from a tweaked hamstring. He was out at practice, but did not practice. He was in full uniform, just not participating in stretch, et cetera.
Yeah, to me, it feels like what you would see a game time decision be. You know, you see him fully dressed up again, fully in pads again. This is day 2 in pads this spring. He went out to the stretch lines, gave it a little bit of a go, but like we saw on Monday, the minute that stretch concluded, he went back with the trainers and did not participate further in practice. So Sarkisian said he expects him back this week. We didn't see him today for very long. Friday, perhaps a different story. Of course, we will not be there. There is no media availability on Friday, but perhaps a return there for Manny Muhammad.
Yeah, it should be. It's interesting. Steve Sarkisian will go immediately after this. We'll go to his press conference when practice ends. He's got a lot of, it's just so much talent on there. One of the positions I took particular interest in today, defensive line, defensive end, and linebackers, as well as the secondary. My first extended look really at the edge position. And I got to tell you, one young player really looked good that I wasn't necessarily expecting, and that was Colton Vossett.
Yep.
A young man out of Austin Westlake participating. Colin Simmons looks terrific. Zeno Miazulu looks terrific as well. I think that they're going to be really, really in good shape at edge. Trey Moore there as well. There's some DB drills y'all see and quick passes. That's Isaiah Bond there on the recovery. Then Ryan Niblett is up next here. You see a lot of different drills like this early in practice for the Longhorns. CJ, your thoughts on what you saw or particular positions you looked at?
Yeah, I wanted to double down on Vossick because, again, you know, he wasn't entirely healthy last year. Saturday, a little bit of a scare, if you will, spending time with the training staff instead of on the field during the live portion of the practice. Bobby, I was with you, actually, whenever the edges were kind of going through their hand placement on the ball, get off, get around the edge as well. He looks good. He looks healthy. He looks strong. He looks fast. And I think that's exactly what you want with his size and his length off the edge. Really encouraging there to see him back on the field healthy. I spent a lot of time with the tight ends. I wanted to get an idea of how comfortable Jeff Banks was around, Gunnar Helm, Amari Nyblack, who else in that group was making noise. In the single pad kind of ball get off explosion block drill where you explode into the block or into the bag. Jeff Banks singled out Spencer Shannon, Amari Nyblack, Jordan Washington, 3 really good reps in a row of just Jeff Banks saying, hey, that's how you do it. And, you know, Jeff Banks isn't the kind of guy that just hands out compliments. So I think right now what you're seeing in that tight end room is a lot of confidence, a lot of guys getting it right on the first try, which is something that's been a recurring theme so far, as we've talked about with Jerry in the past, is this team doesn't, you know, run through many drills as a result of mistakes. And I think that's very encouraging in what practice number 5 and practice number 2 in pad so far this spring.
Hey, Bobby, real quick, let's sit on offensive line. I had a typo on TexasFootball.com. Yeah, Neto left guard, first team reps, not right guard. So I was trying to get that done before we went live, but it is left guard. Go through, CJ, what you saw on the OL again today, because second practice in a row starts to be a trend.
Yeah, absolutely. The first team, again, from left to right, it was Kelvin Banks, Neto Umeozulu, Jake Majors, DJ Campbell, and Cam Williams, of course, was your right tackle there. The interesting part of that second team, and we saw extended snaps a little bit today going to the backfield to Denius. Again, you were looking at Trevor Goosby as your left tackle. I don't think that's going to move anytime soon. Cole Hudson at left guard, so you're continuing to see that battle kind of build up at left guard. Obviously, Hayden Connor has the experience, the snaps from a year ago, 2 years ago as well, but you see a Cole Hudson sticking at left guard prior to where he was at right guard a year ago. Hayden Connor, again, second team center today. He got a good look before we were out there at practice today. And again, as the individual drills doubled up, Connor Stroh was your right guard. And it was Andre Kojo at right tackle. Him and Jaden Chapman going a little bit back and forth with that second team with Brandon Baker filling in at that third team unit.
You looked at it, Jerry, and the offensive line certainly looks the part. We talked about that this morning. It nothing to be ashamed about there. That's for sure.
Right.
The wide receiver group continues to be the same guys out there. Isaiah Bond, Jonte Cook, the first ones getting reps. And then DeAndre Moore continues to get looks. Matthew Golden continues to get looks. And I'll double down on my statement on Ryan Wingo. I don't know that he's going to be a factor this year, but that guy is a potential high NFL pick.
Yeah.
I mean, he gets away from his body. He's big. He's relatively fluid for his size, and he can run. Yeah. I mean, he really – like, he put his head down on an out and up today that, you know, Arch just threw it beautifully and caught it over his shoulder. I think I got a video of it. We'll have it for later today probably. But my point being, guys, they – at receiver, they've got guys. I am still just wondering who's going to be the guys. You know what I mean? Or is there anybody to really take the place of either an Adonai Mitchell or Xavier Worthy, despite how good these guys are? Because they're all – I mean, look, I think we saw four or five NFL wide receivers today.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that they're not talented. The question is, how talented can they replace Worthy and Mitchell?
So based on what I've seen and my thoughts are, what I really like about the receiver core and where it's headed, and I think the big key with Ryan Wingo, to Bobby's point, is the most difficult thing for a freshman receiver in Sark's scheme is not playing receiver, not running the routes, you learn the nuances. It's all pre-snap. That's where freshmen get kind of the head gets scrambled a little bit. Things move slower for them because there's so much ass pre-snap in this scheme. If Ryan Wingo passes that test, I just think he's going to push his way onto the field because he's different from anybody else. But at the wide receiver position, and with the understanding Silas Bolden's not even out there yet, the versatility of this group is more so than it was a year ago. Now, do they have two first-round pick level guys on this team? I don't know. That'll play out. Probably not. One maybe a junior and Bond, and one maybe a freshman and Wingo one day, right? But they have more speed, quickness overall as a group of 5-6, and more versatility. It's going to make them tougher to defend.
They've got numbers, Jerry. They've got true numbers. We talked about how when Kyle Flood first got here, they didn't have numbers at offensive line. Now they do. When Steve Sarkisian got here, they didn't have numbers at receiver. Yeah. Now they do. I'm just here to tell you. Now, I don't know if there's a, you know, to our point, I don't know if there's a guy. One guy I do want to single out as a receiver today is Matthew Golden. Yeah. I thought he looked more comfortable today than he did day one. That's not a surprise. We're five practices into it now. But physically, he's starting to I called him the silent assassin a little bit on that after that first practice because you didn't really see him make some – he did that. Did you feel that too a little bit? Like he's getting a little more comfortable as a Longhorn?
And it's funny because, you know, you watch that first group of wide receivers and he's not a part of it. And then you watch him run routes and you're like, there's no drop off from the guys above him. Perhaps even
better.
Absolutely. So that's where I was going to go with Matthew Golden. Jerry, I wanted to back up to your point a little bit again about Ryan Wingo kind of getting up to speed with, you know, the nuances of this offense. I was in the end zone a little bit for these routes on airs, a period with Quinn Ewers and Arch and the quarterbacks throwing to the receivers. It was Isaiah Bond in the end zone asking Sarkisian, hey, am I in the right spot? Am I in the right alignment? Do I need to be above the numbers? How far above the numbers? Sarkisian came over. Chris Jackson kind of gave him an idea of what this route entailed, where the other routes on the field were coming from as well. And that's, again, to your point, just kind of the nuances that a guy like Ryan Wingo, Aaron Butler, or even these transfer guys are going to have to get up to speed with very quickly. And for a guy like Silas Bolden, who's coming in the spring or in the summer, it's going to be expedited even faster. One other guy I wanted to mention was DeAndre Moore, because he is kind of getting those first team looks in the slot. And we've talked about the smoothness in his routes. What's going to keep him off the field is any sort of inconsistency with the hands. I notice at times there's a double catch, a ball hit the ground today that went through his hands. It was something I heard a little bit on Saturday as well when the team was first in pads. If he can shore that up a little bit, he's looking at a path to the field, and I think that he'll be a contributor this year. But again, if you find any inconsistency in your play, we know Sarkisian, to be on the field as a wide receiver, you've got to make the plays, you got to be consistent, and you got to know what you're doing out there. He doesn't like inconsistency. So that's the question mark I want to see further with DeAndre Moore this spring.
Somebody asked in the chat a comp for Wingo. I've always said Chris Godwin. Now, maybe it's because we had him in the Under Armour game when I was at ESPN Under Armour. But Chris Godwin's always been the comp for Ryan Wingo to me. That's a height, weight, speed ratio. If you look at kind of Wingo and the NFL combine with Godwin, look, Texas fans can only hope that Ryan Wingo turns out like Chris Godwin.
I think Godwin's a little leaner than at least he is now. Wingo has some thickness through his thighs, Jerry. Mm-hmm. I want to say that. I mean, just having watched him the second time. Somebody asked if he comped to Aurelius Ben at Illinois. Aurelius Ben had some issues between the ears. From everything I'm hearing about Wingo, he has been terrific behind the scenes. So let's just
just for future reference on Godwin, 6'1", 209, 4.42 at the NFL Combine.
That's tremendous.
I think that's kind of what we're looking at with Ryan Wingo.
Could be. Let's talk a little bit about the secondary, if y'all want to. I spent quite a bit of time with those guys watching Blake Gideon and Terry Joseph do some work with their guys. Taff and Derek Williams, definitely 1 and 2 in that first group. My first real extended look at Andrew Makuba. Mm-hmm. As well as Jelani McDonald, strictly as a safety. And then Xavier Filsimi also as well in that mix. Very interesting to me to watch all of that transpire. Look, there is no better person, no better looking dude in a Texas uniform than Jelani McDonald. So, I mean, when you talk about first off the bus, he might be one, even though he's a safety. Because he does not, I mean, he just looks... Like, I mean, if you were drawing a guy up, he looks more natural in drills, in my opinion, than he did a year ago. That's a great sign because he was playing a little bit different spot a year ago, right? At nickel and even some at corner. I feel like he's getting a feel for that. I think he's going to end up being a guy. I would add, Jerry, that Xavier Filsimi continues to be a little bit of a go-getter. So does Jordan Johnson-Rubel. The safety group as a whole and the room as a whole, again, it's a – sounds like a broken record, but improving substantially. At corner, very interesting. So early in workouts, it's very weird to see Jahdae Barron, by the way, wearing number 7. I don't know if people don't realize that. Barron took the number of Michael Huff and is going to wear that for his senior year. Hopeful for the Thorpe, obviously, as well. But he is working out the nickels and the corners work out together early in practice. So they take reps together. Jahdae Barron, Austin Jordan, Jalen Gilbo. I got a chance to see first time I really got a real, real look at Wardell Mack today, right? He looked good. Wardell Mack has long arms. And Jerry, you know what? You went to see him in high school. You know exactly what I'm talking about. But even out here among a group of fairly long arm defensive backs, Wardell Mack has long arms, right? So that it's all relative. And so that was good. They all look quick. I got some tape of that. And I would just say that Gavin Holmes was in place of Manny Muhammad with the first team. So that would be the first thing, right? Out of my mouth. Terrence Brooks continues to look like he's gaining some the weight in the right place without losing his quickness or speed. One of the things I worry about with guys like that who start bouncing up is whether or not they lose some speed in the process, but he does not look like he is right now. So look, my thoughts on the secondary, probably the most talented secondary Texas has had since 14, 13, that kind of category. More talented, or as talented surely, as Caden Stearns, Deshaun Elliott, PJ Locke, and those guys. They've got 6 or 7 defensive backs. Now, not all starters. They're going to be NFL players for sure.
Well, I wanted to mention on Jelani McDonald, we were talking about it after you had to go on Coffee and Football this morning. For the fans that didn't really follow his high school career, this is the first time he's concentrated on a singular position in his life since high school. So, look, there's a development curve with these smaller school guys that play quarterback, wide receiver, safety, whatever they need to for a team, and then go play basketball. Look, this is the last year was a big development year for him, just concentrating and learning at the defensive back position. So to what Bobby's point, it won't be a surprise if we don't hear a lot more about Jelani McDonald through this spring, because he's going to be a more comfortable player now. And it leads into AJJ underscore sports. What his comment is, I'm surprised we aren't hearing more about Kobe Black. I think it's the same thing. He has the father played for Bill Snyder at K-State. Brother's obviously a very good corner at Oklahoma State. They'll have a career in football on some level. XFL, NFL, that remains to be seen, right? But Kobe Black still played safety last year, played corner before, played jack of all trades, whatever they needed to him on offense, right? This is still a big learning year for him, because when you concentrate on one singular position for the first time truly over a course of time, that is a developmental year for you. And then year two, you're so much more comfortable and look like a different player.
I've got to add this. Kobe Black was running second team.
Yeah.
With Manny Muhammad out. So he is – it's I didn't mention him. I should have. Physically, you know what? I mean, he's gonna be one of those guys, Jerry, that sheds pounds during workouts.
Yes.
He has that body type.
More cut.
Yes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's gonna lose weight is what's going to happen with him.
Because the reality physically, guys, he doesn't look like a guy that's lifted much in his life. He looks like a state of Florida kid to me that comes from the small schools in the state of Florida. And it's because he's a small school guy that played multiple sports all year round. At the Under Armour game, CJ, I commented, I was like, that guy physically is going to look totally different a year from now. He didn't look like physically like the kids that come out of Duncanville or places like that, right? He has a longer way to go. He has a longer runway physically than most.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, going back to the game that I got to see Waco Connolly play against Salado a few years ago when it was Jelani McDonald and Kobe Black sharing the field together with one another. You know, every possession they had them at a different spot. You know, Salado, another small school, Central Texas school, that didn't probably have that big number one wide receiver that warranted either of them to play at cornerback. So you'd see one at safety, the other would spin inside the linebacker. And I think that's where Jelani originally, the fight on the inside of the Texas facility was, you know, is he going to be a corner? Is he going to be a safety? Is he going to spin down to a linebacker? Because they had quite success with DeMarvion Overshown. That was kind of the blueprint with this staff to say, hey, this guy kind of has that similar traits. Why not try it again? But hey, you know, when Jeff Choate takes the head coaching job elsewhere, now you're sitting in the room with your Blake Gideon saying, no. He's coming up to me and we're going to make him, look like quite the athlete.
I'll be honest. He would look the part at receiver.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, he's got that. But back to Kobe Black, and then I want to say, so you mentioned Duncanville, so I need to talk about Colin Simmons a little bit. It was my first prolonged look at Colin Simmons today. Kobe Black has – when I first saw him a week ago Tuesday, I thought that he was a little out of shape for being a young guy. I didn't feel that today, actually. And I do – that's what I meant by I think he's going to get his body – his body is going to morph differently than maybe I thought it would first time out. That's number one. Second thing, let's talk about Colin Simmons, because I mentioned Colton Vosick earlier looking good. Colin Simmons – has some long arms.
Yes.
I mean, my goodness. I mean, he may only be 6'2" and a half, 6'3". He's got arms the length of everybody out there, including Baron Sorrell. I guess, you know, Zeno Mizulu has huge long arms too. But all in all, very interesting. I like the way Colin Simmons looked today. He looked like he was practicing hard, by the way, which is something that, you know, you always worry about with a five-star guy that's got a lot of accolades coming in. He practiced very hard. Another guy that I would say looked really good that's a young guy is that defensive tackle is Alex January. There's Colin right there. I mean,
he's scratching his kneecaps.
Yes. those are some arms right there, guys. Long. He looks a little. He looks thick there. He's a little thinner in person. I think the picture may be adding a little weight there to me. But
I was gonna say, what's interesting about his arms is they're not super wiry.
You know, right.
He's added 20 pounds from December to now. A lot of that's in his upper body, which is, you know, certainly encouraging. And of course, the twitch is not going to disappear as well. You're watching him on the BGO drills as well. I mean, him and Trey Moore, I would say. Yeah. Are the two guys that you watch and say, all right, like that's where they get their their sacks, their pressures. It's from the get off, you know, and I think that's where they beat a lot of tackles and tight ends.
Very, very interesting. You would pick Colin Simmons out of a lineup. Physically, you would not pick Trey Moore out of a lineup. No,
correct.
You just would not. And then he starts running the drills. And then you're like, oh, okay.
Bobby, it's so similar. It's so similar, him and Byron Murphy. And I'm not saying Trey's going to be a first-round pick, but to your point, when Byron Murphy showed up at Texas, he's 6 foot 285. He's not the guy you're going to look at and say, oh, there's the guy. That's not him. But he ended up being the guy. And he doesn't have the longest arms, right? Byron Murphy's not the tallest guy. He's not the first guy off the bus amongst the D linemen. He ended up being that way with physical development. But it's very – those guys are very similar in that regard.
Yeah. To, quarterbacks, might as well talk about them. Texas has two good ones. It was another good day to me. I thought there was a throw or two. Arch – that got away from Arch a little bit. Again, a little wet out here. It's very cold as well. I don't know about you. But
very cold is relative. It's in the 50s.
There's a reason I'm in my room.
Yeah. We don't see sleeves too often, and Colin just showed up in sleeves. He wasn't the only one out there wearing the long undersleeves. But good day throwing the ball. Again, to your point about Quinn Ewers, of just the deep ball looking.
They're getting it out quicker, CJ.
It looks good. And I think that there's more of a rhythm, which is a bit of a surprise to me because you're working with a brand new slate of pass catchers.
Yes.
But when you watch Quinn Ewers line up with a Jonte Cook or an Isaiah Bond or even a Matthew Golden, I mean, it just feels like it's a drop two steps and then that ball's out. Whereas years past, Quinn might have tried to use that big arm to make up for that ball getting out a little bit later. So it was encouraging me. I watched Isaiah Bond catch balls right in stride all afternoon or all morning today. Really encouraging as well. Trey Owens, a good day as well. My question with Trey Owens and where I think his development will go is when it's not a 1-2-3 go kind of situation in the drop back. Will he still be able to find the pockets? Will he still be able to get the ball into, you know, tight windows? Because whenever you give him a one or a three-step drop and ask him to hit a guy on an out route or an in or a dig or whatever, he's doing it. He looks good.
He's got a gun.
Yeah.
They've got three pro arms back there right now. There's no doubt in my mind whether or not Trey Owens develops into a pro football player is a different story. I will add this. The other thing I like, the deep ball today, boy, when they ran that out and up, mm-hmm. and the receiver literally put their head down to start running and accelerating through it, the ball was out. You can't react to that.
Yes.
They are it's not – and I would say, you know, the focus being on Quinn, since he's the guy that's done it so much with the deep balls for Texas, I would add to you and tell you that – My feeling is that it's Quinn and Arch that right now are understanding how to throw the deep ball better.
Yeah.
I really fundamentally believe that. And the reason I believe that is because I sat there and watched it. I mean, I couldn't have told, like, I've been highly disappointed with the deep ball. Every Texas fan has, not highly as relative whenever you watch them throw two against Alabama and Bryant Denny like I did. But my point being is, you know, the idea that's not going to be a bigger part of the offense going forward, it is. I mean, they've got it. I mean, both Ewers and Arch are going to be able to throw the deep ball for a long period of time. They're maybe it just took the guys longer. I don't know what it is, but it's there now.
Yep.
And what does that mean for this offense? I don't know. I want to add one piece of that is – I think it's going to be Amari Nyblack.
Mm-hmm.
I saw some things from him today in the passing game that are just different. I love Gunnar Helm. I think Gunnar Helm's going to play pro football. But Nyblack just presents a different problem in space. Just a different kind of cat than anybody else Texas has.
Just look at if you have a tight end that moves like a wide receiver, how much that does for opening up – an offense. I mean, and I'm not comparing him, but Brock Bowers moves like a wide receiver, not like a tight end. If you have a tight end that moves like a wide receiver, that does a lot for your offense because you are become a very difficult matchup. I mean, JT Sanders, really good player, second, third round pick, whatever he ends up being. But Nyblack moves different than JT Sanders. There's a difference there.
I would say the thing that I haven't seen Nye Black do yet, and that's because we haven't seen team periods, is right. whether or not he feels the game that much. Like, you can't – we're watching a little bit of it on air, and some guys – like, JT Sanders felt the game quite a bit in the passing game, I thought, and he even did that in practices. He did that at the pro day last week, Jerry. I worry about that from Nye Black until I see it, because I haven't seen it yet. Whether or not like Travis Kelce, for example, it's not so much that he's got all world hands or all world speed or whatever. It's that he feels the passing game. He feels himself open. I haven't seen that yet. I have seen that from JT Sanders at times. Mm-hmm. Like he sat in a zone on that fourth down play against Kansas State and gave Malik Murphy a great target. I haven't seen that from Nye Black. And so until I see that, I don't want to proclaim him the answer. So I don't know that yet. We just don't know.
The other thing I wanted to add with Nye Black, while he's moving his way up the depth chart, when you see him in those team situations, all of those routes that you see him run in routes on air or in these early throwing sessions is with Quinn Ewers. That is who is feeding him the football. It's rather interesting the way that they have it. Obviously, Gunnar Helm will go first with Quinn Ewers. You'll see Juan Davis fit in second with Arch, and then Spencer Shannon with Trey Owens. And then the quarterbacks will circle back again. So it'll be Amari Nye Black with Quinn Ewers, and it'll be Jordan Washington again with Arch Manning to kind of wrap things up and move to the opposite side of the ball. It's how you expect, but it is noteworthy that the guy throwing the football to Amari Nye Black is Quinn Ewers. And so –
That's a great point, and you know, a very nuanced point that you picked up on that.
No doubt.
Impressive. Hey, the other thing that I would grab, we talked about Jordan Washington quite a bit. You know, I feel like he's going to be long-term, going to be a real, real guy for him. He's still, like we talked about, he's going to still need another year, but he just needs time in the weight room to be a full-time football player.
Yeah.
He's talented. Here's a couple of the running backs, a couple of the wide receivers.
This is the deep ball to Isaiah Bond. Again, it was like that all day. And I would say even that throw there might not have been the best. But, I mean, from where we saw it a few years ago, even last year, it feels like an improvement. It feels like the confidence is there. Consistency above everything else. I've seen a lot more of that from Quinn.
Yeah, I want to say this on Quinn, though, but having watched him a lot in high school. His deep ball – numbers in between the numbers has always been high end, extremely high end. Just go back and watch his South Lake tape. That's never been a deep ball issue at all for Quinn. It's been along the right, especially right sideline. That's been that's been the one that's been tougher for him from an accuracy standpoint, but inside the numbers, he's always been really good deep ball there.
That is Colin Simmons 11 and 31 is going to be Trey Moore. Yep. So when you saw those two go up against each other, and this is Baron Sorrell versus Justice Finkley. Look how much bigger Baron Sorrell looks than Justice Finkley in this tape.
Look how low Baron Sorrell got on that, by the way.
Oh, I know. He's strong. He's done nothing but improve. Like, if you want to talk about guys that, you know, if you put a gold star on development, you got to be kidding me. I mean, he is absolutely a guy.
Run this back one more time, Matthew, when you get a chance. I want to point out something here. Young player. Okay. Young player versus experienced player. Watch Baron Sorrell, how low he gets, okay, on this drill. And then watch Colin Simmons as a younger player right after that. And Colin Simmons has more natural bend probably than Baron Sorrell. But look at the bend for the experienced player that's really strong, been a program. Now watch Colin. Look at the difference. Not as low. Wait, see, that's where guys, that's what they learn at the college level. Baron Sorrell, low. Look at that. Ass above the shoulders. Colin Simmons was shoulder above the butt there. And just that's the part of the development that's going to take a Colin Simmons from five-star prospect to potential first-round draft pick.
Yeah. Hey, Todd Lacey, I saw your comment about the birds above us. It feels like, you know, we're at the Masters a little bit, 2 weeks away, kind of feeding in some bird noises. It doesn't quite feel like we're at the Masters right now, but the birds are certainly helping.
Yep. Any other thoughts we have for today before we close it down, the special edition of On Texas Football?
Hey, look, I haven't heard anything about punter. Come on, what did Ian Ratliff look like today? Because punting on a cold.
Hey, let me see who these guys are here. So 21 was Phil Simi, 23 Jordan Rebell. The next guy up is Derek Williams, just so people get a feel for that. Michael Taft up next. You can see here. Who's he going? Is that against Andrew Makuba? Yeah. So just to give you guys a sense of everything that's going on in Austin this week, it looks it's very, very promising, I think, here. I think the talking to some people off camera, et cetera, I think they just feel really good about where they have the football team and the football program generally right now. And they have every reason to, because I'm telling you, some of that footage we just showed you guys, it doesn't lie. Right. You know, what are they? The film don't lie. Is that right?
The eye in the sky don't lie.
Yeah. And so I think overall it's just the same. I've given this speech more than once. Anything that is just interesting.
And it will be as, you know, these practices keep going. One final thought for me would just be that offensive line. You know, do you see it switch up at left tackle or left guard? What kind of job security does Jake Majors have? I think we all expect him to be that guy, but you're adding another guy with a lot of experience to that center position. Is there a shakeup? Does he move over to right tackle, give Cam Williams some run as well? That'll be interesting because, again, now that we've seen it 2 days in a row, it's starting to become a trend a little bit. One day, a one-off is no longer the situation that we're looking at left guard in my eyes. So what kind of switch up, you know, movement do we continue to see at that offensive line spot for Kyle Flood?
I did look at linebackers a lot today. First guys up, Benda and Hill, followed by Blackshear, LaFau, Gallette was in that mix. Blackwell was in that mix as well. So that's the six as of right now. I think Samaje Burrell is looking better. I don't know if he's going to make it into that group or not. That's where it's at right now. We'll have to wait and see. All right. I think that'll do it for today's special edition of On Texas Football Practice Edition Reactions. For Jerry Hamilton and CJ Vogel, I'm Bobby Burton. Thank you all for watching. We'll have more for the state of the program after Steve Sarkisian's press conference. We're going to go to that, be able to ask Coach Sarkisian some questions, and then get back to you with more later today. For Jerry, CJ, I'm Bobby, and hook 'em. Thanks also to our producer, Matt Hutchison.
Always, Matthew. Great job.